Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Callback should be with us shortly.
I tell you, last night we were delivered a very entertaining football game between the Rams and the Vikings, because it seems as if more times than not, the Thursday night game is sloppy, ugly. Yep. What was so beautiful about this football game, and I didn't really have much of a rooting interest. I was thinking about taking the Vikings, getting the points. Well, I would have pushed, which would have been a giant waste of time.
And it's kind
of
like, it's almost worse than losing.
Yeah, well, it's not worse than losing.
I guess not.
You know what it is?
It isn't worse than losing.
It becomes an emotional waste of time.
Right.
Not that I wouldn't watch. I watched anyway.
Well, yeah.
But just the emotion of, oh, yeah, I'm going to cover. I'm not going to cover. But Jared Goff, I got to tell you.
Unbelievable.
And you could say what you want about the coach who looks brilliant.
He does.
And all
brilliant.
The offensive weapons he has, which is amazing, you know, between Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and Todd Gurley. I mean, they're loaded.
They are loaded.
He probably also plays behind one of the best offensive lines now in the National Football League. So obviously he's set up to win.
They're the best team in the league right now. Through 4 weeks of four games. I understand it 4-0, but they're the best team in the league.
They are, and just all the way around. And Marcus Peters ended up playing in this game, by the way, which is a little surprise.
Yep.
And they're going to cruise to their division. I mean, they're going to get
easily.
They're going to have no pushback in this division.
None. They're going to clinch the division by Thanksgiving the way they're going.
Yeah, seriously.
Yep.
But with all that said, even though Goff's in a great position to succeed, some of the throws he made last night were insane. I mean, he was dropping perfect passes, dimes, right into Cooper Kupp's hands. It was almost scintillating to watch. He was that good. And he really looks locked in. And over the first four games of this season, you're right, they're the best team in the league.
No question.
They're also the anti-Giants. They've dropped 30 in every one of their games.
Every game.
And it's consistent. 33, 34, 35, 38.
Yep.
So I guess next week they're going to hit 40 against the Seahawks.
Yeah. But the competition so far hasn't been great until last night, where they played, and obviously Minnesota's off to now a rough start. They're 1-2-1 it was actually three straight weeks without a win now for them. But, you know, still, the Rams just look, they look unbelievable. I mean, they are loaded, loaded team.
And another thing to back your point up about, hey, look who they've played, and you still have to beat them.
Sure.
They've also played three of their four games at home.
Right, that is
so
true.
So they have had that advantage.
Yep.
Though it's not as exaggerated as the Chargers. There
a lot
are
of
fans.
Viking fans there last night.
Yeah, there are fans
there
of the other team there.
Yep.
And the Vikings, you got to wonder about. I mean, the thing about them in this game defensively is twice Anthony Barr was matched up with a guy he cannot be matched up with.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
One was Todd Gurley.
Yeah, I know it.
And the other was Cooper Kupp on one of those touchdowns.
Right, exactly. So, you can't be doing that.
And here's a tough thing for Minnesota. You know where they go next week? Philadelphia.
Is that where they play the Eagles next week?
It's a winnable game, but that's not easy.
No.
So they could
rematch at a championship game.
Sure. They could very well be staring 1-3-1 straight in the eye.
Mm.
And, you know, Kirk Cousins can't really rip him. He's played reasonably well.
He's been good.
The running game situation was icky because Dalvin Cook looked like he wasn't going to play. Then he did play, and then he became an absolute non-factor in this game. I think he had one or two good runs. I think his first run was for 9 yards, and after that, he did absolutely nothing. So it was more about the Viking defense, who just couldn't stop some of the precision passing of Jared Goff, who threw a 5-touchdown
465.
And Cousins threw for 422.
I know.
It was a very entertaining game. You know, usually I like defense a lot more. I don't want to see teams scoring every single drive. But maybe it's because it's Thursday night, and usually these Thursday games have been pretty ugly at times. But this was fun, man. It was a fun game to watch. And on paper, the Rams, like you said, they look like the premier team in the National Football League right now.
Right now, through four games, they are. I don't think there's any question. Through the first quarter of the season, they are. They're the premier team in the league.
And look, you have always said it, and it's true, about judging coaches too early. But.
Yeah, Sean McVay.
Sean McVay.
Where do we find one of those guys for the Jets, huh? 31, 30, how old is he? 32, 33? Well,
I think he's that young.
Right.
And what's crazy is the year before he takes over, 2016, not only are the Rams 4-12, and it's Jared Goff's first year.
Right, started
7 games. But Todd Gurley's on that team.
Yeah.
He's there. A lot of the other weapons aren't, but Todd Gurley's there. Not only were they 4-12, Joe, they were 32nd in offense.
Mm.
32. Out of, as we
32.
Know, 32.
Right.
He goes there. 1 year. They went from 32 to 1. They were the number one offensive team in the National Football League last year, and they're right around that. I'm sure they're probably two behind Kansas City right now. They're probably two behind Kansas City, but they're right there again. So I think to see that kind of jump, and also the jump from Todd Gurley. I mean, what was Todd Gurley 2 years ago?
No question.
Guy he was last year.
Well, they've been a different team under McVay. I mean, obviously. They won the division last year. They got beaten in the playoffs, but, you know, it's dramatic, the turnaround under McVay.
Oh,
and the difference in Goff. I mean, he was in the beginning, I don't know how good this guy really is. But he's starting to take off, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I think the throws that he makes are so impressive that I don't think you can rationalize his success by just saying McVay,
offensive line.
No,
I understand, sure.
He's absolutely in a really good spot, no doubt. And that's what the Chicago Bears have tried to do. And I'm not sold on Mitchell Trubisky, mainly because Mitchell Trubisky doesn't make those kinds of throws.
Right.
He doesn't.
Nope.
He's very athletic. He's not nearly as accurate, but he's been given, not to that degree, obviously, but he's been given weapons. He's got two pretty good running backs in Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. They tried to upgrade at wide receiver, not nearly as good as the Rams.
No.
And
they got a good defense, though. I mean, you know, Khalil Mack. Now, with Khalil Mack there, their defense is very good.
Well,
it really is.
Khalil Mack, you know, after Goff's performance last night, one of the feelings I saw from a few people on Twitter was he is right now the leader in the clubhouse as MVP of the league. And you can mention Patrick Mahomes as well.
Yeah.
To me, the MVP of the National Football League, 3 games in, basically, is Khalil Mack.
He's been unreal.
He has made such a ridiculous impact on that defense, and he's turned games. Look at the Cardinal game last week.
Hey, look, I'm with you 100%. And even the game they lost. I mean, you go back to that game to the Packers, and I still don't know how they lost that game. But, I mean, he was unbelievable. He had that play before halftime. He picked up he got an interception or a fumble recovery, whatever.
Yeah.
He ran it in for a touchdown. He was he was all over the place in that game.
And I know he won't win it. It's going to be a quarterback. It'll be some elite quarterback.
Oh, yeah, I've seen. You know, look, LT won it once.
Yeah,
you know,
LT.
Alan Page won it once.
Yeah, look, first of all, you just named two guys that were a million years ago, the era of quarterback steroided up stats.
Well, that's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
So you're right. It could happen. Yeah, if we went into a time machine, then it could definitely happen. I just mean that in that, look, you see what's going on.
No, look, I mean,
these numbers are on steroids.
No, it's ridiculous. Look. That's what they want, but that's what the league wants. It's the fantasy football world now.
And you know what? For that reason, that's why what Mac's doing is even more impressive, because if you tackle a quarterback these days, you get called for a penalty.
Pretty much.
And so Khalil's making that kind of impact with strip sacks and not being called.
How about the play early in the game? I was thinking about this, and there was no flag thrown, and nor should there have been. But there was a play early in the game where Cousins hands off to Cook and gets tackled as he does the handoff.
Yes.
And I'm watching this, and I'm saying, wait, they're going to throw the flag here? Right? I mean, think about that. Why was that? Because he's not throwing the ball? Is that why that? I mean, right?
I'm conditioned.
Why even hit him on that play? I was thinking about that.
Well, why he did it? I think it was the momentum of it, because he was almost at him before he handed the ball off.
My point is.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you.
Right?
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
That. I mean, is they going to throw a flag because he tackled the quarterback?
Well, I start to think anytime the quarterback is hit, as legal as it looks,
I
am waiting for the flag.
Right.
Because we've seen legal hits where flags are thrown.
Yeah.
Carl Banks is with us. By the way,
Carl is brought to you by your Tri-State Kia dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles, by Foxwoods Resort Casino, the wonder of it all, and of course, by York Install Confidence, the 2-time Super Bowl champion, number 58, our good buddy, Carl Banks. Hi, Carl.
Hey, what's happening?
How are you?
I'm good.
How are you feeling about this week? Saints have a dynamic offense. They're not usually as good on the road when they're away from a dome, but they still have tons of weapons. Michael Thomas is probably the best wide receiver that no one gives enough attention to. He's been a machine
this
season.
Catches like 14 passes a game.
Yeah, well, they are a dynamic offense, like you said. And how do I feel about it? The Giants are going to be challenged. I think we're going to still continue to learn more about them. I like the fact that the Giants are confident in what direction that they're going. If you talk to the players and, you know, you're starting to see this offensive line come together in terms of how they work in unison. So that's a good sign for them. Again, you know, what it really comes down to in terms of offensive line play, first things first, knowing what your assignment is. And then secondly, it comes down to the physical matchups and how you execute the scheme. So if they can all be on the same page, then it just comes down to, you know, holding up physically. And that's half the battle, because if they can give this quarterback some time or create some type of seam for the running back, they'll be very, very productive. The good news for the Giants, I guess, is that New Orleans, though they score a lot of points, yep, it becomes a basketball game.
Yeah.
You know, because they give up their share too. So if they can take advantage of that, but it's really, if I'm New Orleans, I'm going to try to get early pressure on Eli Manning to try to get the offense unsettled. Defensively, for the Giants, they're going to have to somehow put a net around Alvin Kamara. I mean, he's a running back slash who's had 100 yards receiving in his first three games here. So they've got to try to put a net around him and slow him down. But, you know, the more the Giants offense is on the field, the less the defense has to see Drew Brees,
who's been as accurate as ever this season.
He's the one thing about him, and I don't know, he's not underrated at all, but I think he's underappreciated in terms of his accuracy, because he's a great window thrower, if you will, but he can manipulate defenses. He can, and Sean Payton's an excellent play caller, where they can take you out of what you believe you should be in the middle of a play, and there's a play that's happening right behind you. So Drew Brees can look something down and convince you that that's where he's going with the ball. And before you know it, the ball's sailing over your head to a bigger gain. So they have their hands full, but we knew that they would anyway. Any team that plays them, I guess, except for Cleveland.
Yeah, they played tough.
Cleveland gave them everything they could handle. But any team that plays the New Orleans Saints knows that defensively you're going to be challenged. Drew Brees is a great operator in the pocket. He's been his height all his life, and he's been able to operate within his body structure and just be as efficient and effective as any quarterback in football.
You know, I do like what I've seen from the Giant defense, though. I have to say that, you know, really through the first 3 weeks. And I don't know if Eli Apple's playing this week, so I think that's going to be a hit. I think we're going to see Vernon, though, right? Will we see Vernon this week, Carl?
I'm not sure. I think he had some practice
right.
this week. I don't know if he's there in the limited capacity or if he's a week away. But, you know, these high ankle sprain things.
No, they take a while, I know.
Well, teams have to be very careful with them because they end up being surgeries.
It's like a four-week injury anyway, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
The kid from 4 to 6, and it never really heals.
Right.
The kid from the Rams had Tlaib. He just had surgery on a high ankle sprain.
Right,
so you really do have to be careful with those. I like the defense, but there are some things that they're not doing well that play right into what New Orleans does. You know, they're linebackers in space. They have to be very disciplined on down and distance and knowing where they are, because, like I mentioned, Drew Brees will put players in. Like, if it's a 3rd and 8, he'll run somebody at 3 or 4 and convince the linebacker he needs to vacate what he's doing and go get that guy. And then he hits a play right behind him. So they've got to be really good at that. And, you know, pass rush has been good for them. Stopping the run has been good for them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if stopping the run is going to be a major, major priority.
I don't think it's going to be, especially with Ingram out for another week.
Yeah, but they really have to be shored up in what they're doing in their pass defense, because if not, you'll see a lot of holes in it.
And you mentioned, you're right about Kamara. I mean, so far this year, he's been much more of a weapon catching the ball out of the backfield than running. I mean, I think he's averaging like 3.5 yards per carry, and then they miss Ingram in their run game.
Well, they do, but right now, the way the league is, or the way they want to run their offense, they want to keep as few big guys off the field defensively and try to get you in these matchup problems. That's why they'll go 5 wide receivers and put him out of the backfield. So it eliminates the run, but then you can end up the same thing that Minnesota had with a linebacker on a guy that's a mismatch.
Yeah, we saw that a couple of times last night.
It was the the craziest thing, when I'm looking at Anthony Barr, I think two of the three touchdowns, or three of those touchdowns, he's covering. He's in a mismatch.
Yeah, one was Todd Gurley, the other one was Kupp.
Yeah,
early.
So
yeah.
It makes no sense schematically. If you're going to have a linebacker matched up, you got to do something different. You got to check out of it.
Sure.
But, you know, because teams are designed now to find that guy. It used to be a time, well, we can get by with it. Or if you're a blitzing team, you know your guy's not going to have to cover very long. They weren't even in blitzes in Minnesota. If you're a defensive coordinator, you've got to understand that these offenses are now designed, when they put four, five wide receivers, it's designed to find the weak link.
Oh, yeah. And you can pick on it.
Yeah,
sure.
And look, Eli Manning did the same thing with Barkley in the game.
Right,
Houston. The Houston game.
Yeah.
They spread them out. They see who the matchup is. Okay, we can meet this guy. And Kamara's that guy for them because it's hard to put a safety on him, and forget about it if you want to put a linebacker on him. So you really, if you're going to blitz, you better get there or disrupt the timing of a play, or else this guy's going to catch it and he's going to have big days.
Joining us right now, former longtime offensive lineman for the New Orleans Saints, and now the play-by-play announcer. That is a jump. Not caller analyst,
huge.
Play-by-play announcer.
That is a big deal.
That's impressive. And that's Zach Strief. Zach, Carl Banks, Joe, Evan, how are you?
Hi, Zach.
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Good.
How about that jump? Because usually the former player becomes an analyst. Carl does that very well. How about the play-by-play? How did you make that jump?
Well, if you guys have ever seen a picture of me, you know I like to take big bites of things. And maybe none bigger than this one. Really, I think for a lot of people in any entertainment business, a lot of times it's your opportunities are based on what is available in the moment. Jim Henderson, our longtime voice of the Saints, was here for 32 years, and he retired in February. I retired in early March, and I had met several times with the radio station about different jobs unrelated to that, and it was the one job that I kind of kept turning back and saying, that's the only opportunity that I really want to pursue. And they were nice enough to allow me to audition and to work at it and practice and try and at least put some tape down, and was fortunate enough to get the opportunity. And it's been tremendous so far. It's an absolute blast. And I keep saying it's really one of the better transition jobs I could ever imagine getting.
Zach, you can be honest and just tell us you were doing play-by-play every touchdown that Drew Brees threw, right? You were saying,
in the helmet.
Drew Brees drops back, I block this guy, the other guy's a blitzer's coming, I got to call this guy. It's a touchdown.
That's funny. You know, the good thing was I was injured last season, and so I when I went back and called games from last year, I wasn't on the field, so I never had to call myself out for any bad blocks. and I also realized very quickly, when you're a player, it's like, man, they never talk about us. You know, the linemen get no love. And then when you're actually calling it, I'm like, are there linemen on the field? Because I spent so much time following the ball around. It's certainly a little bit odd to be calling the plays for the guys that you know, were teammates just a year ago.
You know, Zach, how about your team? You're 2-1 right now. This team, it looks like they put up 40 every week, although the Browns held them to 21 in that game they won against Cleveland a couple weeks ago. But what about the Saints right now?
Well, I mean, certainly I think you look at them offensively, and I'm sure everyone has grown accustomed to this. I know we have in New Orleans that the offense has been operating at a high level, and fortunately so, because the defense has not. And really, when you look at this team, I think this team's going to go not as far as the offense will take it, but as far as the defense will. And the one thing that's interesting, I actually think you look at last week's game, we go up 37 points to the Atlanta Falcons, almost 500 yards of offense. And what you see is a bunch of big plays and a lot of good defense besides them. The Saints have given up four receptions of over 40 yards already this season. I'm sorry, five receptions, two more than anyone else in football. And I think that's really been the story for the Saints this year, is that inability to stop the big play and balls going over our heads. And I think that's told as big of a story defensively as anything. But, yeah, the offense is rolling, and we've got some of the most talented weapons we've ever had in Drew's tenure here in New Orleans.
Alvin Kamara, he is like the ultimate weapon. I mean, he's 300 yards receiving, And it's not like he's the main target. He's just so dynamic in that offense, and Sean Payton seems to be able to get him in the right matchups. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and listen, Sean and the entire offensive staff do a pretty incredible job of scheming up matchups. And, you know, you saw it last week. We had a 3rd-and-5 in overtime against Atlanta, and they somehow got Michael Thomas matched up one-on-one with Devondre Campbell, the middle linebacker for the Falcons. And, you know, when you have a quarterback as accurate as Drew Brees, there's just no way to actually make that play defensively. And they do a great job with Alvin. I think Sean's biggest issue with Alvin is he wants to use him on every play. And we can't give him the ball 70 times. And certainly with Mark Ingram having been out, you know, there's some questions there as to how many carries can we give him, because he's so effective in the passing game. And you saw that last week, 15 receptions. He's targeted 20 times. So obviously he's a weapon, and I think he's a matchup nightmare for defense.
Sure. We're talking to Zach Streif, does play-by-play for the Saints. I think back to last year and the very successful regular season you guys had, you hit out of the park in the draft. I mean, the draft was ridiculous with Marshawn Lattimore and Alvin Kamara and Ramchek, who's a tackle, and Marcus Williams. With those rookie defensive players, specifically Lattimore, who was great last year, how has he done in his second year? Has that been a part of the struggles this team's had defensively, those two guys, Williams and Lattimore, in year two after having really good rookie years?
You know, I think Marshawn is still playing at a pretty high level. Marshawn gave up some big plays in week one against the Buccaneers. And, you know, to his, I guess, if you're going to give him any breaks there, he's covering the number one receiver every week, did with Mike Evans in week one. And last week on Julio Jones. But, you know, I think Marshawn has played well. I think the level that he played at as a rookie is almost unfair to hold him to that level. Unfortunately, he got that first touchdown given up out of the way early, so he doesn't have to deal with that all season long. But I think Marcus Williams has had some struggles this year. I think, again, like I talked about, there's been some balls go over our heads. And you know, that's an issue defensively. And certainly for a defense who's played really well in the front seven, but when you're going to give up long passes like that in the passing game, you know, the two runs to start a drive that go for 1 and 2 yards are kind of negated when you give up a 45-yard pass after those. So I think those guys, you know, listen, those are still really talented players. Those are cornerstones of this defense. But, you know, there's no arguing when you look at the numbers that they haven't played to the level that they played last season.
You know, I look at the Saints, and I look at the division you play in here, Zach. I think it's the toughest division in the NFL. I mean, you know, you had three teams in the playoffs last year, and now you look at what the Tampa's done so far through the first three games, even though they lost to Pittsburgh on Monday. I mean, how about that NFC South? That's a very tough division.
Yeah, I wish that would stop. It feels like that's been the case here for a while. They're not making it very easy on anybody. The division, really, the last several years has been really, you know, it's been a tough division, and it seemed like for a few years there, you know, your only break in the division was a game against Tampa, and now they're playing fantastic. Obviously, Fitzpatrick in the start to his year that he's had. You know, it's a tough division. I think all of the offenses in the division are talented. I think, you know, there's a fairly clear leader defensively in Carolina. But I also, when you really go through the offenses, as good as I think Carolina's offense is, that's probably right now the worst offense in the
right,
NFC South.
Right,
so
yeah,
it's pretty, and that's pretty amazing because it is a talented group, and, you know, but that's just the nature of it right now. So, it's pretty balanced. It's going to be a tough one all year, and I wouldn't be surprised to see more, another grouping of NFC South teams in the playoffs this year.
That's amazing because they are, and you know, we were just talking about your defense. They do a pretty good job, but boy, they end up with the way the Saints score points, they end up having to defend less run and more pass, it seems like, because, and they're number three, I believe, against the run or overall in the league. But boy, it makes it a lot easier. They're number three against the run, but it makes it a lot easier when teams have got to play catch up, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's why you stats can never tell the whole story, right? So
right.
You can't look at the paper and say, well, they've given up this much passing. Well, we're going to give up a lot of yards passing every season, because when the offense is rolling and we're up, You know, but when teams feel like we're going to score on a majority of our drives, they're going to do the same thing. And,
yeah.
You know, you get into a game where both teams are running the ball and maybe the weather's sloppy and it's kind of this back-and-forth slugfest. Well, then all of a sudden they might not give up as many yards passing and everyone's going to go, hey, the corners played great. Well, that's not necessarily, you know, how the story is told. And I think defensively in general for the Saints, you know, for a Saints defense to have – you know, the stats that some of these teams have, the offense is going to have to change as well. And as long as Drew Brees is here and Sean Payton is here, this offense is going to put up points. And you know, that's going to be reflected defensively at times.
Well, you put out a big caveat. As long as Drew Brees is there, is he going to play forever? I mean, he's going to be 40 in a couple of months. He's not slowing down. I mean, you look at what he's done this year. He hasn't thrown a pick yet. He's completing 80% of his passes. He's going to shatter almost every record in the books. Is there a feel for how much?
He's even running for touchdowns.
Yeah, with spin moves and whatnot. He's got it all.
Yeah.
How long is he going to play?
Well, it's one of the things that you learn when you're around Drew is not to bet against Drew, whether that's at the ping pong table or if you're playing cornhole or basketball or professional football. He's a tough guy to bet against. To be completely honest with you, I think that Drew's career is going to end when Drew decides that he wants to move on and spend more time with his family. I don't think that it's going to go to the point where physically he's so broken down he can no longer do it. I think in terms of how long that is, I think it's probably, you know, a couple years. I don't think that his intent is to play for another 5 or 6 seasons. I think, you know, he's got a big family. He's very close to his family. He's got a wonderful wife that I know he enjoys spending time with. And, you know, for Drew to be as effective as he is, Drew lives at the facility. And you know, those sacrifices, I think, build up as your kids get older and they become more active. And, you know, I think that's going to be more the determining factor in when Drew decides to stop playing than the physical realities of it. Because for any degradation of his physical talents, his mental approach to the game is as good as it's ever been, and it's evident watching him. We're awfully blessed here in New Orleans to get to watch him every weekend.
You know, Zach, you talk about his mental prowess. He's 6 foot, been 6 foot his most of his adult life, but yet he has guys 6'7" like yourself blocking, and he finds these angles to throw the football that people are like, well, how is he making these throws? And it's not like he can only throw outside. He throws over the middle. Talk about, like, how he sees the game in the land of giants, if you will.
Well, I think as someone who doesn't play quarterback, it's one of the most amazing things when you talk to him about it. And, you know, first of all, Drew will tell you some throws are blind. And that blows my mind. You know, He says sometimes I can't see, but I know where he's going to be. We've run it enough times. I know where they're going to be, and I trust that they'll be there. That's pretty incredible to me. I mean, just that as a statement kind of blows my mind a little bit. But, you know, the blocking schemes that we run are really designed to give him throwing lanes. And, you know, it's funny because I played offensive tackle for Drew for 12 years, and I can't tell you how many times I was told that I was so slow and everyone was just running past me. You know, at the end of the day, we're trying to get those DNs out of the way and spread the defensive tackles a little bit and give him some lanes to step up and throw. You really don't want him to be able to do that. I think most teams with a defensive coordinator that's worth their salt is going to spend the whole day trying to figure out how to get pressure in front of him, in his face, and to keep us from being able to do that. And, you know, that's part of the chess game that goes on. But, he understands his limitations, and he plays within them, and that's what great football players do.
Mm. Talking to Zach Strief, of course, the former offensive lineman for the Saints, now doing the play-by-play for New Orleans. How about the Giant game here now coming up? This is a team that hasn't scored 30 points in a long, long time here, Zach. And you would think that streak's going to end, it's probably going to end against the Saints, whether they win the game or not. How about the Giants right now?
Well, first of all, I'd say, you know, the Saints have not played real well in New York against the Giants in recent years. Really, the last time we played well there was in 2006. On Christmas Eve. And, this is what I think. The defense, there's a lot of proud guys on our defense right now that have a tremendous amount of work going into improving. I always think it's funny when people assume that games are going to be big scoring games. A lot of times you find yourself in a defensive battle. It certainly happened two seasons ago in New York, where, you know, it's both offenses were kind of rolling, and we were certainly rolling offensively, and then you get into a game and it's decided on field goals. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see that. It'll be the Saints' first time outside this year. I think there's some matchup difficulties. I think someone like Sterling Shepard is going to have a good day. I know OBJ is the big name there, but I think they'll do a good job. They tend to do a good job against the bigger name receivers. And, you know, I could actually see this game turned into a little bit of a slugfest.
Wow.
You know, and I think that's odd. And I think a lot of people would question why that is. And you know, it's honestly my experience playing in New York is that's more the way the games have gone. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see how it actually works out.
So you should bet the under then.
That's what I was thinking.
The over under, the over under is 50, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
50,
you should
yeah.
bet the under, right, Zach?
Yeah, I would. I don't, but I would.
I get it. It's a new world.
Like
now.
I said, it's hard to bet against Drew Brees.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Now, I was looking at his numbers at MetLife / the other place, Giants Stadium, and he's been pedestrian. I mean, he's just been a pedestrian quarterback when playing in New Jersey for whatever reason. And I don't know if that's going to continue. We'll see.
Well, I'm sure the Giants hope that it will continue.
Oh,
because
damn right
it's,
they do.
I'll tell you this, guys, and one of the big differences when you look at the rosters that, you know, could make a big difference is I think the Giants traditionally have had a really strong pass rush, and I just don't see that right now.
It's not. Yeah.
I think getting Olivier Vernon back would obviously be a big boom for that. That being said, Teron Armstead, the left tackle for the Saints, is playing as well as he has in a long time. Actually, just week one. JPP, who's now in Tampa, who they were very excited about, was a non-factor. Then we go and we play the Browns, and Myles Garrett, who had a huge game week one against the Steelers, was a complete non-factor. So, you know, I think we have someone that can neutralize Vernon. I think one of the other guys is going to have to get home. And I think if you give Drew Brees time, that he's gonna you know, make that work. And, you know, last time we played in New York, I actually thought that Coach Spags did a nice job defensively. Actually fooled him a couple times, which is almost never happens. But I think that there's going to be a lot told. If you can get pressure on Drew Brees, if you can affect him, then you got a chance. But, you know, if he's got time to sit back there, that's the way it doesn't become a slugfest, because him and Sean will completely abandon the running game and say,
right,
if we're going to average 10 yards an attempt, we're going to throw the ball 50 times.
Mm. Zach, we appreciate you coming on. Have fun Sunday.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Zach. We'll see you in town.
I appreciate it, gentlemen. Yeah, sounds good.
Zach Strief, the play-by-play voice of the New Orleans Saints, and, of course, former longtime offensive lineman. We'll come back more with Carl Banks. He'll give us the keys to the game as the Giants try to beat the Saints and the Jets try to pull off a big upset against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Carl Banks with us, as he is every football Friday and Monday. Carl, the keys to the game?
Keys to the game is for the Giants offensive line to continue to develop and progress in their communication. I think there are some opportunities for Eli Manning and company to hit some big plays. They've got to be able to make the big plays when they're presented, and that includes the quarterback hitting the throws that are there, the deep ones, because they're going to get Odell Beckham free on a few plays. They got to be able to make the throws and execute those plays. But the offense has to operate efficiently. They were 50-50 run pass last week. That's because the offensive line, they were all on the same page. They, like I said, some of them didn't hold up physically, but they were all on the same page. So at least you give your offense a chance to operate defensively. I think it comes down to Alvin Kamara. They got to put a net around him and let the rest of the guys beat you, as strange as that sounds. And we know that obviously the conductor of that orchestra is Drew Brees, but Kamara is the guy who can really disrupt you and take you out of what you want to do.
Michael Thomas is going to be, I mean, the season he's put together, it's only three games, so obviously we got to take it easy, but the stat that jumped out at me is how many times he's been targeted and how he's caught almost every ball thrown his way.
Sure.
It's off the charts.
Because they have so many viable weapons. It's not that people are ignoring him.
Right.
It's that they got to put more attention equally across the board. So his one-on-one matchups, he's winning them. So
yeah,
you give
every
him credit
time.
For that. And you can't help him when they go and they put Kamara out there. Now you got to take a skillful cover guy and give Kamara attention, which means this one-on-one, this guy is winning every time.
So what do you do then? Because you mentioned, like, hey, Kamara's the guy you can't let beat you. Well, then how do you even contain Michael Thomas with the way he's playing?
Well, my point is you've got to find a way to net Kamara so that you can give Thomas the extra attention he warrants. How they do that, it could be some combination man-zone stuff. But you just can't have Thomas one-on-one because he will win his individual matchups. And it's brilliant strategy by the New Orleans Saints to be able to get a guy like Kamara into some situations where you can pull coverage away or double coverage away from Thomas. And Thomas is, you know, again, quietly, nobody wants to give him, you know, his just due. But
so far he's the best in the league.
He's winning.
Yeah.
He's winning.
Every
it's not like they're not giving him attention, but he's winning his one-on-one matchups.
And with the protection, I mean, Cam Jordan, who had a great year last year, he's doing it again. I think he's got four sacks already, and that's going to be the guy to keep an eye on.
Well, look, again, their offense is helping their defense, too, because they make other opposing teams one-dimensional. When you got to play catch-up, you can't do it on the ground all the time. Mm.
All right, how about the Jets down in Jacksonville? You give them any shot against the Jaguars?
Yeah. I think, you know, what they have to do is make it an ugly game for the Jaguars offense. And I'm not sure if Fournette is back or not because he's nursing their hamstring.
Yep.
But they've got to be sure in their coverages too because there are certain things Bortles does well, but there are things that he does when he gets exposed, he can be as average as possible. And without a run game, they just got to make sure that they shore up their coverage and in their rush lanes. That's key. Their pass rush is very important. More important than sacking Bortles is making sure he doesn't escape and throw a ball down the field. They just got to contain him so that he doesn't get out the pocket and then your coverage breaks down.
He's all over the place, man. Yeah. Like 1 week you watch Blake Bortles and you say, man, he's underrated.
Well, look at him against
he's
the Patriots. He was all world.
Right.
Four touchdown
pass. They couldn't get any pressure on him. Right. He broke the pocket.
Yep.
And then I think offensively they've got to strive for balance. Now they're going against a tough front, but they still have to commit to running the football. Mm-hmm. If they can do that, they'll have some play action. He's got to recognize that his tight end will play a factor in play action pass against the Jaguars. So they've got to be able to run the football. They'll run the football and play action is going to be a key for them. Just dropping back and trying to get a guy down the field every play is just not going to be a winning formula against that front.
At the end of last week, we asked you if you thought the Giants would beat the Texans. You were optimistic. You said yes. Same optimism this week?
Yep. I do.
2-2 Giants.
Well, they have a chance to beat New Orleans. I think their offense can really explode if this, and it's a big if, but not as big as it was last week. If they can continue to get on, the offensive line can continue to stay on the same page.
Right. Those were the keys to the game, and they were sponsored by your Tri-State Kia dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you Monday.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.